All right. Well, we started with a very classic version, and I tried to get my two guests to sing along with me, but you need to cooperate a little bit more.
I think if I started singing, Tom, people would start turning off the radio, so let's be glad I didn't.
Well, so glad to see both of you. I've worked with Sarah. You know, Sarah and I, we both worked at Pima County, and she was my risk manager, and I kept everybody safe, and I wasn't that hard to work with, was I?
Not too terrible.
Thank you. and Blake Eager, and from the and I'm going to say it's the Sports Authority, right? You know, and that's the short, but you use the acronym all the time. So Blake Eager, good morning, the executive director of SASFA.
Hello, Thomas.
He and I were in a meeting the other day, and you introduced yourself from there, and I looked around and I said, will you please say the entire name?
Yeah, no, it's so it's tough, I'll throw it out there. So it's Southern Arizona Sports, Tourism, and Film Authority.
Yes, that's right. And I was been so fortunate and lucky to have been a very part of the discussions when we were, in a sense, deciding whether we were going to try to revive the Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority. And then you hooked up with Ken Gowan, and he showed us the way, I think, on how to make this thing work. And there are six counties that are involved in this organization, and I am. I attend a morning meeting once a month with all the folks from Southern Arizona, and you've put together quite a team.
Well, I appreciate that, Tom, and you were at the table the very first time I think I came to a meeting, and that was, what, 12 years ago?
Yeah,
it was a long time ago. 4 years ago, but it's exciting to be here, and we're very fortunate for our regional partners in all six counties, which are Pinal, Pima, Santa Cruz, Cochise, Greenlee, and Graham.
Yes, and Sarah, you've been with the county now for 13 years. You're now the director of Keno Sports and Complex, and I had the opportunity to work with Keno Sports Complex on many functions, such as concerts. But my favorite was spring training. So for 6 weeks, we worked 7 days a week. Catherine Strickland at that time and I worked with all the staff members and the whole team, and we had our morning meetings right before every spring training game, and we got a chance to get to know the both Jerrys from the Diamondbacks and from the White Sox, and it was just an exciting part of my career at Pima County. And here you are as the director of, you know, I'm a little bit envious because I said, what would it be like to be there 12, you know, for 12 months out of the year? This would be a lot. This would be a fun job. Probably even wouldn't be a job, but it's pretty cool to be there, isn't it?
It is. It's nonstop every day, and it's a different day every day you go in, which I love.
And it is, since it's part of Pima County, it's service before yourself.
It's all about the community and making memories.
Now, before we get more into the details of the World Baseball Classic, is Tim Vermerstedt on the line? Hey, good morning,
yes,
Tim.
Is.
Tim is
good
the
good morning, Tommy.
Good morning, Tim is the co-host of the Morning Voice here on KVOI, and Tim gets the pleasure in besides the World Baseball Classic that's coming up this Sunday, he gets to talk about his two or three most favorite events that are going on in March. And Tim, what are those three festivals that you really
well,
enjoy?
Well, we've got some fun things coming up. We've got the Cola Guard Classic kicking off March 2nd through the 9th out at the beautiful Western La Paloma Resort and Spa. And so that's always a fun time of the year. And then we've got the Tucson Festival of Books coming up, another favorite of mine, March 15th and the 16th. And then we have the Walk on the Funky Side, the 4th Avenue Street Fair, March 21st through March 23rd. Always an interesting tour down 4th Avenue, and a lot of fun. So we have a lot of fun things happening in March, just to touch the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, normally our Februarys are cold and warm, and now it seems like spring was here back in almost in January. I think we only had maybe 1 or 2 weeks of winter. So we're ready for all these festivals, but we're here today with our guests, you know, to talk about the World Baseball Classic, which is, as we've been talking about amongst ourselves here, you know, Major League Baseball is back. And I really miss it because in 2010, I think around that time, we had to say farewell to the last team. Well, they all did, of course, stay in Arizona, and so it was only a short drive up, but it was a lot different because 6 weeks of my life for 17 years, where was when 17 years? They left before that, but maybe 11 years. I got a chance to work with the Keno Sports Complex team. And here I am, you know, kind of quasi working along with Sarah through Blake in particular. But Blake, you know, you're the executive director of this brand new revitalized Sports and Tourism Authority. And I thought we'd just take a minute or so and talk about who you are and how the heck did you get involved with this new sports authority?
Yeah, I mean, I think we want to start at the beginning. So I'm a Tucsonan, right? I was born and raised here. I went to Flowing Wells, grew up across the street from Flowing Wells Junior High. I was fortunate enough to go on to play college baseball at Eastern Arizona and then in Metro State in Denver and got drafted by the Mets. And then after I got done playing baseball, I started coaching baseball internationally. I coached the national team for Russia and Sweden, the junior national team for Sweden. All while maintaining some semblance of a normal life here. Came back after that and started a couple of businesses, all based in youth sports. And when I was ready to step out of it, I started working on this project. So we actually introduced the idea of an authority or a sports authority, tourism authority, film authority, workforce development, whatever you want to call it, about 4 years ago. And there was a group of us. Edgar Soto kind of led the charge, and he's our chair. And we were lucky enough to get in touch with Senator David Gowen, and he was our champion at the state level. And Edgar and I were on a Senate ad hoc committee very early on to make the state aware of what the thought process was and what the plan was. And we were able to execute it, and we were able to get a lot of positive reinforcement from both the House and both the Senate, and it got passed through. And we've been here for a little less than 2 years, and you know, we're just very fortunate. We're very fortunate to be in the position we are, and I'm very fortunate to be in the position I am.
So the Pima County Sports Authority actually had its roots back to help bring the Colorado Rockies here. And Dan Schneider, who was a big part of that, will be on at about 7:30 to talk a little bit about his Major League Baseball. So the Rockies arrived in about 1993. And thanks to the Sports and Tourism Authority and, of course, all the elected officials and community leaders. And then in 96-ish, Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority was revived for the second time. And their mission was to get a couple more teams here. They set their that parameters high, and just so happened that the Phoenix area was longing for a brand new baseball team, and that was part of the a new franchise came into town, and it became the Arizona Diamondbacks, and a lot of wonderful community leaders were part of the management team, or the ownership team, I should say. And a lot of credit goes to Dan Schneider again and the Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority, and they hooked up with a nonprofit group called the Council on Aging. So they are actually the ushers and all the volunteers. And we'll talk a little bit about the World Baseball Classic and the group of volunteers that you're going to have that are going to be at the games March 2nd through March 6th. And of course, we couldn't have done it, Sarah, without your property, the Keno Sports Complex. And it was quite the controversy. I wasn't in town yet about where it should be located. And there were some very strong political leaders that lived in South Tucson. And it was kind of a pretty vacant area at that time. And so they built this stadium. And it was quite affordable at that time, and because you know, a few years later, the price to build a spring training stadium actually doubled. You know, so we were very fortunate to get a world-class baseball stadium complex, and it was more than just a baseball stadium. It started off, of course, with housing two teams, the White Sox and the Diamondbacks, and then there was the minor league as well. So there was, how many clubhouses are there, Sarah?
In the main complex, we have four large clubhouses.
Yeah, so everybody had their own clubhouse. And that was important because that's where they watched their film and they worked out every day and strategized. Because come, I was probably the second or third week, the pitchers and catchers would arrive. So that was when you were a pitcher, you were there first at spring training. And now your spring training was in Florida, right?
Yeah, Port St. Lucie.
Right. Okay. So there's the Grapefruit League and the Cactus League.
Correct.
And the Cactus League and the Grapefruit League are both 15 teams now.
Both 15 teams. That's
okay.
Correct.
Yeah. So then there wasn't always 30 teams.
No.
And we really, you'll hear a little bit later on in the show that we're hoping that there'll be a couple more teams, new teams that come along, and that we get to throw our hat in and hopefully relocate or locate, I should say, not relocate, locate one of them here and in Tucson. But the stadium came along right at the right time, and we couldn't have done it without the team that Pima County put together. And I knew them all. I didn't come in 98 when they had their first. It was really Dan Felix, I should say. Rafael Payan came in afterwards and helped the stadium. But Dan Felix, a longtime friend of mine, came in and lobbied really hard to get spring training. And I learned later on that you never saw Dan Felix around town in the month of March because he was in Florida. And he spent his entire month watching a spring training game. So him and his wife, Mercedes, and the kids, they got a chance to really get involved and got to know a lot of the Major League Baseball owners. And lo and behold, in 1998, we had our first Arizona Diamondbacks and White Sox, and they – you know, and we had two games. Back then, there were actually night games for spring training. I don't think they're doing too many night games these days now. But it was a great time, a great job. And Sarah, I have to say, as I mentioned, that you got one of the best jobs, I think, in Pima County.
I absolutely do, hands down. I love it.
So let's get into the World Baseball Classic. And before we go to our but let's go to our first break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about World Baseball Classic. This is The Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton, on KVOI. Well, we're back. This is The Morning Voice with Tom Moulton. I'm your host today, and we got really cool people here in the studio with me, Sarah Horvath and Blake Eager. And these folks are really part of the team because there's a whole team behind the World Baseball Classic that's going to be at Keno Sports Complex March 2nd through the 6th. So let's start. Blake, let's go back over to you. So tell us a little more about this wonderful event that we haven't really had since the World Baseball Classic started, I don't know how many years ago, when we had the Mexican national team here.
Yeah, I think they were training here, right, Tom?
Yes.
This is a while ago. So, yeah, we're very fortunate. I think we kind of hit the nail on the head a little bit with this thing because we were all working as a group trying to bring Major League Baseball back, and we were able to accomplish that in this feat. And, you know, we haven't had consistent games at Keno from a Major League Baseball standpoint since 2010, and you hit on that earlier, so we're really excited. But I'd like to talk about the importance of Sarah and Pima County and Keno Sports Complex because it was kind of a perfect storm of all of us being in the same room together and starting together. Sarah and I kind of got into the same positions at the same time, but and Sarah's not going to say it about herself, so I'll say it about her. But She outworks anybody I've ever met, right? I mean, I don't know if she actually does go home to her husband, Doug, who's an amazing man.
I saw a proof on Facebook.
You did see proof. Okay, so I have not seen that. But we're very fortunate as a community to have Sarah in the position and the team that she has surrounded herself at Keno Sports Complex. But Pima County has just been phenomenal, right? I mean, the renovations that they put into this field, they've redone the field and resodded this field since the first time since 1998. It is major league quality to the very highest degree, and we are very fortunate to have it. And so when we talk about that team and we talk about the other teams that came on board with this, you're talking about the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl. You're talking about Mexican Baseball Fiesta, Visit Tucson. I mean, all these people are at the same table working on this project together, and we're just really fortunate as a community to have us all working in the same direction. Ray Flores and C. Charo.
Right. Well, and also being kind of, you know, engaged with your group is that you have really rallied all of the youth baseball leagues here in town as well.
Yeah, we've that's kind of my background. So if I fumbled that ball, I would be in big trouble, right?
Well, you didn't. Get an A+ on that.
I appreciate that. Yeah, we Bill Leith at Keno Baseball has been we sat the, you know, similar to you and I sitting at the table for the Sports Authority. I sat at the table with, I was fortunate enough to be at the same table when they started Keno Baseball. And without Keno Baseball, as a youth player in Southern Arizona, there's not a lot of different options. So we're extremely fortunate to have him. The connections we have with the Little Leagues and having Matt Tigas and the TIG games going on at the same time is incredible. We've got so many things happening, right? I mean, you've got Kohler Guard coming up. This week, you have a full week of professional athletes being in Southern Arizona. Like, that's amazing.
Right. You know, one of the things about both Sports Authority, it's not just about professional baseball, even though that's what we're talking about today. It's the youth leagues, because when the Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority began, it really had a difficult job in saving spring training. Long story short is there was a RFP that went out to try to get teams, more teams, grow it from the Grapefruit League. And there was this little clause in the state constitution that said you can't eliminate any team as part of the RFP. And lo and behold, the Rockies and the Diamondbacks and the White Sox got hold of this RFP, and there was this little thing dangling in front of them, which was you can like almost own the stadium, and it's yours year round, you know. And by the way, we'll build you a new stadium courtesy of the Arizona Sports Authority. So lo and behold, they all, the Colorado Rockies and the and the Diamondbacks got together and put it on an RFP. And next thing you know, 2 years later, they have new stadiums, but we have nobody here in spring training. So, but we try to supersede that and show that the three teams, actually, the love of how important it was, because each team was worth about $10 million worth of economic development at that time. You know, so, and spring training goes back to the Cleveland Indians back in the 40s. So, you know, we've had a long history of spring training. And it was so sad. One, I lost the job in one sense. I still worked for Pima County, but you know, that was the fun part of my job, you know, certainly for the 6 weeks. And we had a stadium called Keno Sports, renamed, I think, at that time, about the same time it used to, was Tucson Electric Park. I forgot to mention that little part of the history. And then it came back and adopted the old name, Keno Sports
Veterans Memorial.
What a mouthful, right? Yeah. But we kept Mr. Extra
almost as much as the authorities.
Well, we kept we kept Supervisor Ekstrom happy, and you know, polished off the old signs, and they came back out, and you know, but it's still known as TEP for some of us old folks out there. And you mentioned the new field, and sorry, he stole your thunder there. But if you go on the website, now I still remember it because I bought the URL on behalf of Pima County, which is kenosportscomplex.com. And I was happy to see it's still around, but it redirects to a Pima County URL. But your website,
You know, sportscomplex.com.
You're still using it.
Yes,
all right.
We are.
That's the
we still are.
Music to my ears.
You should have told Tom that because he's going to be like,
no,
a little bit of
music
little bit
to
of
my ears. And little, yeah, and I bought it on behalf of Pima County. I could have sold it, you know.
It's still active.
There is one that is, I also bought Visit Southern Arizona. com, and guess what? That is now the URL for the Heritage and Visitor Center. And darn, what the heck was I thinking back then? You know, but that one sat vacant for a while, and then my successor Diane Frisch and Catherine found it. Wait, hey, I think Tom bought this for us back years ago. You know, and anyway, that's okay. That was my job. But there's this wonderful video when you go to KinoSportsComplex.com that shows you the new turf or the old turf being brought up and the new turf being brought down, and what a process that was.
It is such a cool process, and Pima County Communications stepped up to do a time lapse for us. We got to see the full resodding. Our field was lowered by over 8 inches because of all the years of, you know, adding soil and adding sand and then adding all of the overseeding. And so it built up over the years. So they took it down 8 inches. If you watch the video, I think it's like 60 tons were taken off. It is absolutely gorgeous now. So we got the new turf in. All of our infield was done, the bullpens. We did all of the mounds. It's just, I thought it was gorgeous before. And then to see it redone, it's even better now. There's
now, are you letting the sponsors or anything do behind the home plate like Major League Baseball does? Where you put a logo or some sponsor or something?
We have very limited logos. We're doing the World Baseball Classic spinner, which is kind of their marquee sign.
Right.
So we're doing two new spinners. And then we're also going to be working to do two other logos of our great partners, which would be SASFA and Visit Tucson.
And then you also, around typical stadiums, yep. You have all the sponsors. So those are all new, too, as well.
So those are all new, yeah.
Yes.
They partnered with Blue Media up in Phoenix to go ahead and get all those up so that all the branding's been done for all the sponsors of both ours and Major League Baseball, and it looks fantastic.
Well, do you have any left?
I don't believe so.
Oh, that's good.
That was a hot ticket.
No, well, there's none left. I'll step in and say there's none left. Yeah.
Well, both of you are doing your job. This is The Morning Voice, and this is Tom Moulton, and we'll be right back. We're back, and this is The Morning Voice brought to you by Visit Tucson. Thank you for mentioning Visit Tucson, because they're a vital part of this show every Thursday. We're going to have Dan Schneider. Dan Schneider, good morning. Are you there?
I'm here, Ed. Can you hear me, Tom?
Yeah, we can hear you. So before we get with you, Dan, Blake is going to just kind of give a little bit of more information about the World Baseball Classic, and then we'll switch over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
Good morning, Sarah, Blake.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Hi, Dan. This is going to be the first of 40 times I talk to Dan today. So
right.
I usually just bug him out throughout the day, but it's always a welcome
conversation. There's no crisis, Dan. Don't worry.
Dan has started that conversation with me the last five times we talked. He's told me that, so it's great.
So tell us what the heck and where is it and what's going on, the tickets and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got four teams playing. You've got China, Germany, Colombia, and Brazil. We're super excited. We've got two games on March 2nd at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. That's this Sunday. The 6 p.m. game is going to have fireworks. Everybody come out. Everybody loves fireworks. Monday, we have two games. That's March 3rd, 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. 6 p.m. game is going to be a youth sports night. So if you have a child that plays in a youth sports league, we're going to comp that ticket for them. We want them to be on site. And then March 4th is Tuesday. You've got two games, 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. That night game is going to be Military Appreciation Night. And then Thursday night at 6 p.m. game, we haven't called it Thirsty Thursdays. We're calling it College Night. But you're going to have $5 24-ounce Modelos with $1 hot dogs. So we want everybody to come out and enjoy that. And then the Monday and Tuesday 11 a.m. games is something really cool that we're doing. It's Kids in the Park. So we're going to have over 5,000 kids there. Just to make sure that they get a chance to see professional baseball and get to be a part of it. So if you want to go buy tickets, you can either head to Keno right now. The box office is going to be open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Today, tomorrow, and Saturday. And then it's officially open pretty much the whole day on Sunday. Or you can go to worldbaseballclassic.com.
Great. Well, thank you for all of that. And I have to say something to you, Sarah, about when the group that was, when they had this idea of bringing spring training or Major League Baseball back, there was a tour, and you probably led it, of some of the community leaders to Keno Stadium. You remember that trip? And I was aware of it, but, you know, I heard the feedback, and they said, my goodness gracious, you know, this, I don't believe the stadium is as old as it is, because you kept it up in great shape. Even though I know you changed the grass was green, it wasn't dead, there wasn't weeds everywhere.
No.
You know, so they came back, Blake, you can, you know, attest to this, and they went, wow, we had no idea that you have kept the stadium up. And I think the last renovation was, Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority got $5 million, and we were able to renovate it and brought the two teams out, and they were wowed too. And that was the first kind of upkeep, renovation, painted everything and everything, because, of course, we were doing that to kind of save spring training. So now you made sure that the stadium looked brand new, and as a result of that, that's why we have Dan on right now. Dan was a pitcher as well, so we got a bunch of pictures here. And he was a pitcher of Milwaukee Brewers, and was it the Houston Astros, Dan?
Well, it was the Milwaukee Braves, Tom.
Oh, what did I say? The Brewers? What? I'm sorry. The Braves back then. Okay. And you were a pitcher for a number of years. So you made it to the big show, as they say.
At some point. And, of course, the story is, if you live long enough, you're a legend in your own mind. So we'll let that go.
Okay? Well, listen, all right? The legend is alive and well with Dan Schneider. Dan served on the original Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority that helped bring the Colorado Rockies here in the early 90s, and then was a big part of Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority, you know, when the other teams arrived, and then we tried to save spring training. So, Dan, I am so happy that the Sports and Tourism Authority, the new version, brought you back on as our MLB advisor, because you have truly been not only a friend to Pima County, but a friend to Major League Baseball. So tell us a little bit about the efforts to help Blake and his team get professional baseball back here.
Well, I'm going to try to make this a short one, but being able to stay in touch with Major League Baseball, and we have some great friends in Phoenix by the Derek Hall and Ken Kendricks, the owners of the Arizona Diamondbacks, stayed in touch. They in touch were working with and communicated with Jim Small at the World Baseball Classic, reached out to me, and then the story goes on from there. And quite frankly, none of this would have happened without Blake and Sasta, Sarah at Pima County, Visit Tucson, all a partnership, if you will, unlike anything we had in the 90s. And that's what's so encouraging about this whole process, and bodes well, so well for the future. As we develop and look at other opportunities besides the World Baseball Classic, they're already in process, and we have some things that we'll be able to announce, or Blake will, and Sarah will be able to announce soon in that regard, all related to professional baseball. And I want to make a forecast of the end game and all this. Quite frankly, sometime in the next 5 or 6 years, Major League Baseball is going to be expanding. You're going to see Salt Lake City, perhaps Portland, gain a franchise, and we'll be sitting there with a perfectly state-of-the-art spring training facility to serve them. And that's what we are, and everybody involved in this partnership is hoping for in the long term.
Well, Dan, we really appreciate your hanging in there. I know you were really, really good friends with the Colorado Rockies and the general manager there, who unfortunately passed away during
Kelly
our
Kelly McGregor.
Yes, Kelly.
Friend of Tucson.
Right. We were in the middle of negotiations to keep the Rockies here, And that was a, if I recall, that was a really big blow to our partnerships with the Colorado Rockies. And as a matter of fact, I remember we made a trip up there. I don't know if you were, I don't think you were with me or not, but what a family home style stadium over there for the Rockies. And it was like going back to my days of Wrigley Field and Comiskey Park. Built right in. Go ahead, Dan.
You're speaking about Coors Field, Tom?
Yes, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Great place to watch a ball game, serious.
Absolutely. And we're really pleased that you kept the relationship up. You know, this was kind of like the second ownership group. So when we were courting them, both the White Sox, you know, obviously was the two Jerrys, I call them, were best buddies, and you knew that. You knew them all. And there were some community leaders here in Tucson. Don Diamond, I think, for instance, that was also kind of an owner at the same time. And remember Joe Graziella Jr., when we had that kickoff luncheon at the TCC in 1997 or 98. And I was at Old Tucson at the time. And we had such a great time. And the community really came together. But nothing like what has come together for the return of professional baseball.
You'll be glad to hear that Joe Jr. is with the Diamondbacks. He's part of their organization. And is one of the first people that we, and I tell you, the collective, we are interfacing with to develop opportunities with spring training. And again, a guy that's very much a fan of Tucson. You talk about also community leaders. You can't go through community leaders without mentioning Jim Click. Jim has been a ardent supporter, loyal supporter, and in fact is involved as a sponsor for this WBC Classic. So he continues to support us and support Tucson and economic development efforts.
Well, the communications and collaboration amongst community leaders here, you see it at the Arizona Bowl. You see it really with all the sports teams that have come here. And we're so happy, Dan, and also we get a shout out to Tom Tracy, both Blake and my mentor for many, many years, and we missed Tom, and I missed those daily conversations with you. But Blake's taken over for that, so we appreciate both of Sarah being here, and Blake you being here. And tell us about the World Baseball Classic. Starts this Sunday at 11 o'clock. The box office is open right now. If you have a Southern Arizona Tucson Attractions passport, we got a special deal for you. Watch for the second email today where you get a buy one, get one free if you have your Tucson Attractions passport. Well, again, we're so happy that you're here bringing World Baseball Classic back, professional baseball. Thank you all. This is The Morning Voice, and I'm Tom Moulton.
All right, we're back on the Morning Voice. Tom, that was a fun discussion about baseball.
Oh, I'm so happy that the two folks were here, and baseball, professional baseball is back. And, Boyd, we have a special segment coming up here. And, Matt, I am going to turn over the microphone to you because this is really special for the community that what's going on tomorrow.
You bet. We'd like to welcome our friend Lisa Chastain, the CEO of Gospel Rescue Mission, and John Gordon, author, speaker, consultant to CEOs and sports franchises and all sorts of folks on leadership, culture, sales, and teamwork. And we're going to take a ride on the energy bus. Lisa, John, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I understand we've got a big event coming up on a Good Friday. So maybe, Lisa, you can set the stage. We can set the stage with that, and then we can meet our keynote speaker, Mr. Gordon.
Wonderful. Thanks, Matt, for having us. So Gospel Rescue Mission, as you know, has been serving the needs of the homeless since 1953. No stranger to the program here. But 3 years ago, we were blessed to take on an amazing event called the Good Friday Breakfast, which has been a longstanding institution in Tucson. Started really coming out of the mayor's prayer breakfast and just kind of evolved over the years. A group of local businessmen had it. They were maintaining it and turned it over in the hands of Gospel Rescue Mission. So we're so grateful to be able to carry on this great event. You know, it's a day of inspiration. So many people come together. We gather at La Paloma April 18th on Good Friday. And fellowship, you know, the fellowship is amazing there. Mostly business people that attend. And we've had incredible past speakers that come and just share their stories of inspiration and their stories of faith and how faith has inspired them in their life's journey. So this year we are so grateful to have Mr. John Gordon, who is the author of over 30 books and an incredible man and leader in this nation. So I'll give you information on how to buy your tickets at the end of the show.
Fantastic. John, we'd like to get to know you. I want to know about this energy bus, because I want to know what the fare is for the energy bus and if I can afford it, because that's a bus I want to be riding on. So tell us a little bit about yourself and some of the things you plan to touch on, some of the big picture topics you plan to touch on at the Good Friday Breakfast.
Well, I appreciate that. The energy bus is all about, you know, positivity. It's a book I wrote, came out in 2007, believe it or not, and yet it's more popular now than it was way back then. All these different sports teams used it, like the Miami Heat and the LA Rams and the Clemson football. I've worked with so many sports teams and leaders over the years, and that led to obviously working with a ton of companies and corporations. And so I'm just so honored to be coming to this. What a great message. What a great mission, right? This is all about helping people, helping the homeless and a community coming together to do that. And I love talking about the power of a positive team, because no one creates success alone. We all need a team to be successful. So I love helping leaders build great teams. And you do it with a great culture. You do it with vision and mission. You do it with optimism and belief. You do it with overcoming negativity and those energy vampires that will often sabotage your culture and your team. You do have to address the negativity as a leader. And then we talk about building great relationships that are the foundation upon which winning teams are built. And how do we build those incredible relationships? And we're going to talk about the four C's of communication and connection and commitment and caring. And these also apply to home as well. So everything I share really applies to work and home, and it will make you a better leader at work, but also at home with your family and your kids. And, you know, a lot of strategies I share are used by, you know, high school kids and college kids. And that's what's beautiful. I've also written 5 children's books. So I have now kids that are coming up to me who read my book when they were, say, 8 or 9 years old, and they're in college. And they're like, hey, I read your children's book. It's pretty wild. So that's me. I have 2 kids. My kids are now 24 and 26. My daughter is a speaker as well. She's doing this work. My son works with us as well, and he's a dynamo. He went to Clemson, played tennis there, and, you know, went through his own struggles, went through some challenges himself, and now he's on the other side of that. And my own journey is one of negativity to positivity, where, you know, I really struggled with a lot of fear, anxiety, and depression at one point, and I started to seek ways I could be more positive because I wanted to stay married. And so I had to find more positivity. My wife had enough of my negativity, and she said, look, I love you, but you've got to change. And so I began to change and work on myself. And it started with positive psychology. So I did a ton of research into that. And this was during the emerging field of positive psychology. And then from there, it really turned into a walk of faith as well. And God really started to change my life in amazing ways. You know, God's not a religion, he's a relationship. And that relationship began to heal me, transform me. And so I really love combining, you know, these real practical strategies with the understanding that we can't do it alone. And there's a greater power that fuels us. And that greater power is the creator of the universe.
Well, that's fantastic. We're speaking with Lisa Chastain of Gospel Rescue Mission and John Gordon, who's the keynote speaker at the upcoming Good Friday Breakfast. It's April 18th, 7 to 9 a.m. at Westin La Paloma. John, keeping with the theme of this first hour this morning of the show, we were talking baseball all morning, and I see that you've worked with the Dodgers, the Pittsburgh Pirates, the San Diego Padres, so that fits in right with our theme. And you just touched on it, this concept of you launched the Positive University. So your journey towards positivity and maybe being more present in the lives and of your loved ones, you started this positive. So I want to See, the energy bus is something I need to be on, and I need to enroll at Positive University. It's content focused on overcoming everyday challenges, bringing together a community of like-minded people. That sounds like perfect themes to talk with the community about at Good Friday Breakfast.
Oh, it is. And, you know, everyone needs it. You know, you talked about baseball. I'll be coming to Phoenix. I know you're in Tucson, but I will be in Arizona and Phoenix working with the Colorado Rockies in about, and so I work with them, love working with them, love working with all the various teams that I've gotten to work with. And I, you know, I come to Arizona all the time to do that. And the same principles for a baseball team apply to your life, apply to your team at work. And everyone always says, like, is there similarities? Yes, the same principles. And if you use those principles, they will impact your life. And we often say that positivity is the competitive advantage. Like, if you really want to thrive, if you really want to be your best, it's about fueling up with positivity, because we have to overcome all of the negativity that we face in this world that will sabotage us. And if we can do that, then we keep on moving forward with the grit that we need to succeed. And yeah, Positive University is a big part of that. That actually became my podcast. And I have a weekly podcast where I'm sharing messages every week. And then we actually changed that recently to the John Gordon podcast, just to let people know, well, where I am, because people couldn't always find Positive University, but they found me.
I think we can find that at Apple Podcasts, wherever you happen to get your own podcast, correct?
Yes, yes, yeah. John Gordon Podcast on Apple or any platform.
Well, Lisa, this is an amazing event, and it just keeps getting better every year. And the past keynote speakers, I think you alluded to them: Tim Tebow, Eric Metaxas, Michael Irvin, Larry Fitzgerald, Jay Dobbins. So there's a couple of big Arizona names: John Ashcroft, Alan Keyes, Oliver North, and now we have John Gordon. This is fantastic. It's a wonderful event. And I guess, Lisa, maybe coming out of Lent, right, and that time of sacrifice and kind of wandering in the desert and fasting, and to Good Friday as we approach Easter, this is just a perfect time for this breakfast.
Yeah, and after hearing John, I mean, don't you want to come hear more of that? It's such a good partnership. You know, Gospel Rescue Mission is all about culture. This is how we serve people. We serve people, you know, with love, grace, dignity, and respect. We have an incredible culture within our employees and our staff. And we want to learn more from John. You know, we want to learn more about him. I think Tucson wants to learn more about him. So we would love for you to come and hear John speak April 18th at La Paloma, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And you can get your tickets at goodfridaybreakfast.com. And there's still tickets available. There's still some sponsorship available. So if you're a business leader or have a foundation out there and want to sponsor the event, please go to goodfridaybreakfast.com and all your opportunities are there.
Well, fantastic. And can they call Gospel Rescue Mission with any questions?
Sure, absolutely. You can call Gospel Rescue Mission 520-740-1501.
Well, John, Lisa, go ahead. I'm sorry.
This is one of the best organizations on the planet. Really, is Gospel Rescue Mission. I mean, when you come there, you're going to be supporting an organization that lives it, breathes it. They love, they serve, and they care. It's one of the reasons why I wanted to come there. And I believe when you come there, you're not only going to benefit this great organization, but you're going to be able to take back so many great principles for you and your family and your team. So it's like a win-win. Like, I promise, I'm going to add so much value that when you come there, you're going to feel alive. You're going to feel re-energized. You're going to be equipped with more tools for yourself and for others. And then also you're going to be making an incredible difference in this great organization and in your community. So there's nothing better.
Again, the Good Friday Breakfast, April 18th at La Paloma, 7 to 9. And it's goodfridaybreakfast.com. Did I get that right, Lisa?
Yes.
GoodFridayBreakfast.com. If you want to buy tickets, you can get information at grmtucson.com for the Gospel Rescue Mission website. And you can call Gospel Rescue Mission. What's the number there again? One more time, Lisa.
520-740-1501.
And you're going to hear John Gordon. He talks about teamwork and team building. And what is a community? A community is a big, giant team, and everybody's got to kind of do their part, and Gospel Rescue Mission is doing their part, and this breakfast is a good way to unify with your neighbors, your fellow business owners, and kind of get back to the core of what we're all about as a team, as a community. Lisa, what about Tell us a little bit. We have a couple of minutes. Can you tell us a little bit about the Easter Blessings to Go at
sure,
Gospel Rescue Mission?
It's a busy day. It's a busy day for us. So if we didn't have enough to do, you know, on Good Friday, but we start out with the breakfast, which is 7 to 9, and then immediately we go back to the Center of Opportunity, and we serve 3,000 brunch breakfasts to the community, to those that are in need, which is, you know, an annual staple of what we do at Gospel Rescue Mission at Easter time, as well as Thanksgiving. So we're a resource to the community. There's a lot of people out there that are struggling, that are hungry, waiting and wondering where their next meal is coming from. So this is kind of a personal invitation. Come visit us. It's much more than a meal, though. The meal is amazing, but there's additional resources there. We have social services that are there participating. We give out resources, pet food, clothing, non-perishable food items. We have people there doing medical and dental and all kinds of things. So if you want a great, fun for the kids. We have a whole kids play area. So if you want a day, this is a great way to kick off your Easter weekend. You know, it's come to the Center of Opportunity, 4550 South Palo Verde Road, and dine with us and fellowship with us and take part of all the resources in the community that could possibly help you back on your feet.
Well, thanks for that information. Once again, the Good Friday breakfast, April 18th, Weston La Paloma, 7 to 9. And I got it. This thing sells out every year, so don't wait to get your tickets. And
yes,
again, sponsorships are available, right, Lisa?
Sponsorships are available. All the information is on the website.
And if you go to this, you're going to hear a world-class team builder consultant to CEOs in sports leagues, in business, John Gordon. It's going to be fantastic, and we really appreciate you taking the time to share your message with us. Any closing thoughts, sir?
Yeah, Matt, I will just say, interject before John, but is that we are already 3/4 of the room sold out. So the tickets went on sale to the public last week, and we only have a few hundred tickets available. So I would just reiterate what Matt said, and definitely go to the website today and buy your tickets and secure it, because we will definitely be sold out for this one. So at today, I'll turn it over to you, John.
I love that. That is so great. And it's so great to see the enthusiasm of the community to support, you know, this incredible organization, Gospel Rescue Mission, you know, nothing better. But yeah, I'm just really, as I said, I'm really excited to come just to leave one, you know, I'll leave everyone with one good tip as we go of what they're going to get. And one of my favorite pieces of advice is don't listen to yourself. Talk to yourself. A lot of negative thoughts are going to come in. And when they do, you don't have to believe those thoughts. You're not the thoughts you think. You're the thoughts you believe. So you want to make sure you're talking to yourself with words of encouragement, words of life. That's a great tip to take on for you, with you for the day. And then bring that to the event. And we'll all be together collectively leading forward with optimism, belief, and really making a difference in our community. I love what you said. You said this community is a team. You're right. We are one big team, and no one creates success alone. We all need a team. So let's be that makes a great difference together.
Lisa, John, thank you for your time. We'll see you at the Good Friday breakfast. Have a great day, and thanks for joining us on The Morning Voice.
All right. See you there. Thank you so much.
Well, welcome back to our second segment of The Morning Voice here on KVOI News and Talk. And boy, do we have some wonderful folks here. Now, as you all know, this entire month has been Western Heritage Month because we just completed the Tucson Parade and record crowds and the Tucson Rodeo, back-to-back weekends, I guess. And they were sold out. I tried to get tickets on Saturday and Sunday, and they were completely sold out, so I had to go on a Thursday. But, you know, it's the same rodeo, the same things going on. The kids get to chase these sheep around and lots of community engagement. So we're continuing with the Western Heritage. The Morning Voice is brought to you, as you heard, by Visit Tucson, and we have two special guests today from Assault Marketing. Am I saying that right?
You are.
Stephen Clausen and Russell True. you know, the we back in the day, as Russ and I were on the Visit Tucson board, and we kind of knew him as the White Stallion guy. But now, Russell, you've kind of grown a little bit since then. So, and good morning to both of you.
Yeah, well, good morning. Yeah, we have we've gotten deeper into dude ranching, which doesn't say too much for our intellect.
Well, I'm not sure about your spare time, but I think you're engaged by both your wife, you know, and your son engaged in all the activities that's going on here. And I noticed, you know, when you and I started working closer together from the marketing side, that the True Family Collection surfaced. And then I had an opportunity to visit at least one of the dude ranches that you took over, the Tombstone Monument Ranch. But you've grown a little bit since then as well.
Yeah, well, Tombs, you know, it all started was just sort of a unexpected adventure when Tombstone was foreclosed on. Someone called us. They didn't even know us and somehow got our name. And so my partner Jay Wells and I, he went down just mostly as an advisor and for his own entertainment. We end up buying it. And then Rancho de la Osa, most historic place in Arizona, I think, it came out that the owners were physically ill and tired, and they put it up for auction. And they really wanted us to get it, but circumstances got so. Anyway, we bought that. KL Bar came in later up in Wickenburg, Arizona's oldest dude ranch, and now we have one a longtime friend of mine in Montana had for many years and had been closed for 13. Circle Bar, center of Montana, and then Blackwater Creek's our latest addition. We bought that a little less than a year ago and opened it last summer. It's right outside Cody near Yellowstone. It's just been a huge hit.
Well, it's fantastic to hear about that, because it's truly the success that you've had at White Stallion goes back to mom and dad, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, I always tell people I'm at the ranch because of a blizzard in late spring Denver, Colorado in 1965. That was the tipping point. Long story short, our parents buy a dude ranch outside Tucson, and there were 4 for sale, 24 in existence at that time.
Yeah, when did you write the book about dude ranches?
So I did the Arizona book in 14. Arcadia Publishing, for some reason, asked me to do that, and then I did the Wyoming book in 18.
Oh, and I didn't know about the Wyoming book. So both of these books, are they still available on Amazon?
Or? Yeah.
Okay. If you want to learn all about the history, I guess, of Arizona Dude Ranches and Wyoming now.
Right.
You can get the book at, what's the titles of both books?
So they're just simply Dude Ranching in Arizona and Dude Ranching in Wyoming.
That's fantastic. And I had the pleasure, I think it was at the Arizona Historical Society a few years back, where you actually talked about the book.
Yeah, when the Arizona book was new, I you know, the Arcadia Publishing has pretty good reach, and so I got invited to several places.
Well, the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance largest category of attractions is under Heritage in the Old West. So Western Heritage is still with us. It suffered, you know, maybe a few setbacks when Old Tucson had their fire back in 1995, and the Western movie seemed to disappear. But you brought back, I'm not sure you would agree with this, but you were a big part, I think, writing that book and helping people understand about the dude ranches. And then Steve, you came along and not too long ago and had the pleasure of being the new development guy, and you got your own history lesson of dude ranches, didn't you?
It's been so much fun, Tom. I can't even tell you.
Yeah, and listen, when you go through the gates of the White Stallion, you know, you want to like have all of your stress just drop away and think about the last Western movie that you saw. And it is very relaxing to go to a dude ranch. And so Why do you think, Russ, and again, I think there was a better understanding of what a dude ranch is after you wrote your first book, but tell us a little bit about, we just got the really brief history of dude ranches, and then where is it right now?
Well, you said something about it being relaxing, and, you know, some of our guests, they just hit the ground running and never weaken, and they probably need a vacation when they get home. And, we've got so much to do, and then, some people just, they can't leave anything on the table. And then others, they make it more of a relaxing holiday. But both groups, they all, maybe whether they spend time at the pool or they get on every single shooting, riding, biking activity, rock climbing, they all are relaxed, either maybe from just general fatigue or sitting at the pool. But, dude ranching got started, the history says the original ranches, Eaton's, took their first guests in 1892. They were a cattle ranch that were hosting the elite from the East and the Midwest that would come out, and they were just guests. They weren't paying, and it evolved into guest paying. They wanted to pay because they wanted to come, and then dude ranching just exploded from that, and it was the West's first destination vacation, because people would come out on trains, of course, and maybe ride a stage or a wagon or a horse into the ranch itself, and then they would be there for a long time, They spread throughout mostly the Rocky Mountains and Arizona right around the turn of the century, exploded in numbers in the 40s and 50s. That was probably the heyday in terms of numbers. Tucson had 127 at one time or another.
Yeah, that I remember reading that in the book. And so they were they focused on a certain region, or were they all over the state of Arizona?
Mostly, the vast majority were weather-based, so they were southern Arizona, they were Wickenburg, Rimrock, south, but there's still, a few out there in the pine trees. People just don't think of Arizona as being the great alpine state that it is, and Spruce Dale's up there, and Cherry Creek, they're up in the pine trees, and beautiful places doing great dude ranching.
So, Stephen, when you're out talking about White Stallion, of course, you have to probably talk about what a dude ranch is, and tell us a little bit about that experience.
Well, this has been something that's joyful for me, and where I've learned about what dude ranching is, obviously from Russell, but I learned more from the guests at White Stallion, because they tell me what it means to them. And for me, that's the biggest takeaway. They get there, and it's just either profound relaxation or a profound departure from what their normal life is. They normally spend their days sitting behind a desk and sitting in a car and commuting, and now they're coming out and they're doing so many of the activities that, or no activities. Many of them want to come out, and they've been there 30-plus years in a row. They don't do any of the activities anymore, and they come out for a week to 10 days, and they just sit and take in the ambiance that is White Stallion Ranch.
Yeah, being part of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, and we sell this little book called the Tucson Attraction Passport, and it's a discount book to all the attractions. And we learned through our research that a lot of the hotels are less than 4 days when they come into town. And, of course, there's a collection of leisure and mostly, I think, the group sales or the business conference kind of skews that.
Sure.
But if I were to just survey the dude ranches, the average length of stay is what, Russ?
It depends. We, along with Tanque Verde, are a little bit more mainstream in that we'll let people come and go any day of the week. The smaller, more rural ranches, some of them are ours, they tend, it's a little less convenient to get to. We've got great convenience to the airport. So those stays will be more in the week range, where ourselves and probably Tanque Verde, we're more in that 4 to 7 night stay. But we're still not a transient hotel type arrangement at all. People miss out on a lot if they don't stay a week, because there's so much going on. So once they figured it out, they tend to stay long.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little more about all of the activities. You were just, you gave us a little teaser for the folks. I learned a while back when I went to Hawaii for my first trip, my wife programmed every single hour we were there. We're going to be at the beach here. We're going to be hiking. We're going to see the waterfall. And you're absolutely right. That 7-day vacation, I needed a 7 days when I got back just to sleep.
Yeah.
Not to mention walking 2 miles, which I thought I could do, but they didn't tell us that it was 2 miles down and 2 miles up. Because the waterfalls have a tendency, you go to the bottom of the waterfall, not to the top of the waterfall. And let me just tell you, my kids went up 2 or 3 times, well, and I was still kind of working my way up to the first half of the first time. So I learned a hard lesson there. And the other lesson I learned is, and I think that's why Airbnb came about, but my trips to Mexico, I learned about this concept of inclusive.
Right.
Everything is, everything's part of your trip. And that's, do ranches have that history of being inclusive?
Yes. No, it's, you know, we shy away from the term all-inclusive, because you're right. Most of us think of Mexico and lots of free booze. And that, you know, we do have bars and we do have alcohol available, but it isn't included. But everything else is, you know, our dude ranches serve 3 meals a day, 7 days a week, and we have all the activities included. Obviously, riding is the central one, but at White Stallion we have the shooting and the
Now we're going to talk about all the other activities, Russ, when we come back from the first break.
Perfect.
So thank you, Russ, for being here, and Stephen, and we'll be back in just a few moments, because there's more than just horseback riding at the White Stallion and all the other dude ranches, and we'll be talking about that. This is The Morning Show, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton. Well, we're back, and this is Tom Moulton from The Morning Voice, and my co-host, Tim Vimmerstedt, has rejoined us. So good morning, Tim.
Good morning, John.
Russ is and Stephen are right across from me. I know you wanted to say a few words.
Well, I want to agree with what they were talking about. I had the pleasure of staying at White Stallion back in 2021, and I literally went home exhausted. it was such a great experience.
Yeah, you were there for
my first time on a horse.
Oh, really? You're kidding me.
Yes. No, all those years at Old Tucson and Rawhide, I never got on a horse.
Well, I guess you never had any stress at Old Tucson, because the maintenance director, you remember him, Gary, would come into my office once a day and do a stress test on me in his own way. And whenever he notified me that my nose was red, we went over to the stables and we went on a 30-minute horseback ride and through the washes of Tucson Mountain Park. And it was relaxing, Russ, for me, because it rejuvenated me. And we never galloped or anything. We just did a little horse and, you know, head and tail? And as I call it, right? Head and tail?
Sure.
Is that what they call it?
Well, yeah, what sometimes do they call it derogatory. We just say trail riding.
Well, I'm old school. I don't mean anything by that. It's just when you're one horse is leading the other
one.
No,
it's true. It's just sometimes it doesn't resonate that
I understand. But on this show, since we're a family show, it resonates in the right way. So, Tim, you know, we're going to take out just another 1 minute because it is the top of the hour, and Tim gets a chance to tell us, Russ and Stephen, about what his favorite events are coming up in the month of March. So, Tim, you got your 90 seconds.
All right. Well, of course, we've got the Cola Guard Classic coming up this weekend at La Paloma Country Club, the Westin La Paloma Resort and Spa. So that's always a great event. We should have good weather for it, so it should look nice on the Golf Channel, who's carrying the coverage for it. And then we've got the Tucson Festival of Books coming up, March 15th and 16th. And that's always a nice signature event for Tucson. And then, of course, the 4th Avenue Street Fair, Friday, March 21st through Sunday, the 23rd. And always a Tucson classic.
Lots to do. There's no reason.
Cheers, take a walk on the funky side.
Absolutely no reason to sit on the couch when you're visiting Tucson. Why, Tim, you and I go. Tim and I go way back, and we've known Russell for it's probably decades now. Served together. Tim was the marketing guy over at Desert Museum, and he was the sales and catering guy over at Old Tucson. And so Tim joins us every show now on Thursday to talk about his favorite special events. And of course, let's not forget about what's going on Sunday through Thursday, the World Baseball Classic qualifier, return of professional baseball at Keno Sports Complex. So good morning again to Russ and Steven. We're here talking about the White Stallion Ranch, and of course, Dude Ranches. Did I count 5 or 6 Dude Ranches you're involved in when you were talking about it?
6, actually.
6, okay.
Yeah, and we have another one in Montana that we've operated a couple years. We reopened it, the real number, after 83 years closed, OTO outside Gardner entrance to Yellowstone. So we're hoping to be back there next summer.
It'd be associated.
Number 7.
Have you met Kevin Costner yet? He talks about Yellowstone in a very positive way.
Yeah,
he's on one of Fox's shows where he's talking about how important it is to retain the beauty of Yellowstone and being right outside. What a great positioning when you say, oh yeah, my ranch is just right outside of Yellowstone. So fantastic. Russell, we and Steve, we talked a little bit during the break about, was there something that really helped resurge the Dude Ranch? And back in 1991, there was this little movie that starred Jack Palance and Billy Crystal. Can you tell us a little bit about that movie, Russ, and what did it do for the Dude Ranches?
Well, you know, I always tell the story because it's how it went down. You know, my mother was still very involved, and she would sit at her desk, look at her beloved mountains, type on her old manual typewriter, and answer the phone and take reservations. And she was the reservation center. And one day she calls me over and she goes, what is this movie, City Slickers? And I said, well, you know, I have no idea. And she said, well, it's blowing up the phones. And so it was a good thing. And it literally flipped a switch. And, you know, Dude Ranching's been around 140-ish years now. And it has ebbed and flowed over those years. And it just put us on a upward trajectory, us, meaning collectively Dude Ranching. And it's ironic. It was a cattle drive. Things went bad. The Wranglers were bad. Everything was a mess. In fact, the movie starts out, and the head of the ranch cattle drive says, this ain't no Dude Ranch. And yet it just absolutely drove people into Dude Ranching, and it was an absolute flip of the switch.
You know, it was it the opposite of Urban Cowboy, or did Urban Cowboy help a little bit too?
You know, I think all those things help. You know, and some of it's more direct, like City Slickers was an absolute direct line to Dude Ranching. But things like today, Yellowstone, the movie, or the TV series, and I think it's very interesting because it's showing the modern Wild West.
Yes.
And I think that really resonates with people and that aren't from out here. They go, wow, we're going to go out there. That's still kind of wild out there. Of course, now, it's not all reality, but
right,
a lot of it is. And so anything Western, anything cowboy, anything horse, it helps.
Now, so there are some things that are anticipated when you go to a Dude Ranch, and clearly one of those is horseback riding.
Right.
And I'm hearing music in the background, Matt, and that means this We'll be back in just a few moments. And that was a short one. We ran over on the first one, and we will be back because we're going to talk about the things that you anticipate and how White Stallion and all the Dude Ranches deliver. This is The Morning Voice on KVOI, 10:30 a.m., The Voice. Well, we're back, and this is, my heritage, Western Heritage Days. We're wrapping up the month. We had the rodeo parade and 100th anniversary of both the rodeo parade and the Tucson rodeo, and both were record attendance. Weather was absolutely perfect, sold out crowds. I had the opportunity to be in the parade again. I think it was somebody asked me afterwards, how many parades have you been in? And I said, well, if you count the times that I rode a horse as the mayor of Old Tucson, it was probably 22, 23 parades, and that's nothing special other than I'm just getting old, you know, and enjoy every moment of it. My first Western experience was when I worked for Calico Ghost Town, an old silver mining town, and that's when I first bought my urban cowboy outfit and got chastised for it, and I quickly asked the magazine, the True West. The gentleman that runs True West,
Bob Bozbell.
Yes, what a great name, right? And I called him up and I said, you know, I want to place an ad, but I really want to understand, where do I buy really my real authentic Western clothes? And then he proceeded to tell me about what kind of a single action gun I should have. So I got to understand the single action. What was it? The Single Action Society or something like that?
Yes.
So he told me all about that. And, you know, I still run into him every once in a while at trade shows. So we had a great time. And I was 4 years there and 4 years at Old Tucson. So, yes, I have several cowboy hats, several pairs of boots. Believe it or not, back in my thin days, Steve, I actually did the Colossal Cave Western Heritage show. What did they call that? Where you did a runway and everything else, and I got to dress up in Western clothes from Western Warehouse.
Oh, like a fashion show.
Absolutely. It was an Old West fashion show. Steve Ochoa and I did it for many, many years, and it was also a chili cook-off, which was famous, of course, for that and barbecues, of course. But we were talking about really what else is there to do other than just ride horses. But I think you, first of all, when you are going to a dude ranch, Russ and Steve, there's some things that you anticipate. And one of them is certainly, I can't imagine going to a dude ranch and you don't have the ability to get to know your own horse and have a good time. Like, you just have a good time riding a horse, and it's something that you deliver on.
Well, I mean, the dude ranchers say 6 H's: horses, hats, hospitality, heritage, heart, and honesty. And, you know, horses is number one, right?
Have you remember that, Stephen? Have you?
No.
We got to write that down because that should be the top of the brochure.
And you know, any good dude rancher, anybody really believes that. They embrace it completely. And horses is the first H for a reason. And that's what separates us, because there's no better way to get out and see these beautiful places, because dude ranches are in beautiful country.
Now, we have a real live Hollywood stunt man. Bunker, are you there?
Yes, I am. Well, how are you guys today?
How are you, Bunker?
Morning, Russell.
Good to hear from you.
Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to call in because we do a podcast, and we do it out of the White Stallion. And Russell is just such a wonderful host. He's one of our sponsors. He's one of the most gracious men I've ever met. But he also does his own podcast out there, Cowboy Up. You guys need to talk about that. And most important, because no matter how much fun you have out there, it's the food, man. Oh, man, has he got good food.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it. Tell us, Bunker, you were You were in all kinds of movies and TV. You were in High Chaparral when it was at the ranch. Isn't that true?
I did 52 of the Chaparrals. I did over 200 movies, TV, all kinds of commercials, anything. Any place I could make a dollar, I'd go. And, you know, it was wonderful. It was a wonderful experience. You know, working out at Old Tucson was always a hoot because we'd break for lunch, eat real fast, and go watch the stunt show. Stuntman watching stuntman.
Yeah, can you share with us who was your favorite actor that was in a movie at Old Tucson?
Well, at Old Tucson, of course, John Wayne, because he is the greatest. But probably my favorite person out there was our stunt coordinator, Henry Wills, on Chaparral. He was one of my major mentors. Just a wonderful man. When I went out to California and was trying to make a living, I painted his house three times. That's that's the kind of guy he was.
Well, it's great to hear from you, and I learned you also have a show at the White Stallion Ranch.
That's right. It was called Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, who was there at the KVOI for years, with Emil Franzi, and Todd Roberts, who's our Hollywood connection. His dad was the producer on both of the Monty Walsh movies. And so there's a lot of history there. We cover the West from, modern West, old West, history. We're about the traditions, the legacy, the honor. You know, the cowboy. Last week we did a cowboy code in the movies, it's a wonderful experience. And I really wish people would tune in both to our show and to Russell's show, because that's what we talk about. We talk about what really happened out there. Have fun with it. We're not too serious, especially me. I'm as loony as a goofy bird, I guess, but it's just the way it is.
Well, we appreciate you calling in, and when I mentioned to Russ who was on the phone, he goes, "I know that guy." Yeah, well, I didn't realize that you both. I didn't know that there was a podcast. It's called, you said, Cowboy Up.
That's ours, Stephen. Yep. Klassen and I, that we started out with Alan Day, Sandra Day O'Connor's brother.
Yes.
And he's sort of retired from it. We still see him, and it's always, Alan's just one of those people anybody is privileged to get to know. And Stevens and I do Cowboy Up, and it's sort of a similar genre as we're kind of following the voices of the West.
I have incredibly big shoes to fill with Alan. My goodness.
Absolutely.
That's the standard I can't even get close to.
Well, I'm so happy, Bunker, you brought that up, because it wasn't on the script to talk about. And so anything with Western heritage is something that we fully endorse here on this show. So thank you again for calling in, Bunker.
Okay, well, thank you for taking me. And Russell, you have a wonderful day, and you too, Tom.
All right, thank you.
You too.
So we were talking about horseback riding, and it's there. You can do horseback riding every day if you want.
But we don't ride on Sunday, but every other day.
Yeah. Okay.
And we ride hard. We've got varied a program as there is.
And you're often leading the crew?
Not as much as I used to. My wife's taken over our corral. I'm still there virtually every single day, but she's better at it. So we.
And she is from?
She's English.
She's English.
She's English.
From Great Britain.
Coming out as a guest.
Okay.
And we didn't let her go home.
Yeah, absolutely. And your son, right?
My son has moved to England. He married an English girl, too, and he's currently living in England.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I knew Steve left, and I didn't realize
Stephen
where he
left.
Was. Yes.
Yeah.
And, they always come back, that.
Yeah.
So, So we're talking about, there's other things to do, and we keep running out of time here. But what do you say besides the food? Because I can tell you it's absolutely delicious. We had a SAAA function out there, and, people kept going back. And I'm not sure you encourage people to go back three times, but there were some people that, and you know what? I met the kitchen staff the day before the event, and they were so delightful. And they said, now, don't worry about it, Tom. We're not going to run out of food. And I have to tell you, there were some favorite items that they kept coming back, and they kept wanting more. And the kitchen accommodated us. And we do have that story about the key lime pie, but we won't talk about that today. You know, so tell us, what is maybe the second or third activity before we go to break?
You know, it's hard to say. Maybe shooting. You know,
okay.
we do a 22s, and that's in a variety of targets and really nice shooting range. We have pistols and rifles. We use these amazing Henry, what they used to call Henry repeaters.
Yep.
You know, the old lever action, and then we do black powder. Really going back in time, and then we have 45s. We use replica guns. We have the only replicas of the Winchester 73 that was used in the Winchester 73 movie, Jimmy Stewart's version at White Stag, considered one of the best Westerns ever made. And we had it custom made. We have two of them. They shoot those, and then a Doc Holliday and a wider replica gun, pistols. And so I would say shooting's next. I mean, e-bikes are a huge hit. They, you know, they're powered if you want it, and so it's kind of the great equalizer, and we go all over the ranch. Archery and a variety of things, axe throwing, knife throwing, slingshots. We do it all out. And then we have entertainment every night, so they can listen to a cowboy singer, line dance, learn about the desert, see animals. It's varied. For sure.
A lot of cooking is done outdoors with the steaks.
And you have absolutely.
A big grill. Okay.
Yeah. And we have three sites out throughout the ranch where we do meals and beer and Cheetos rides and wine and cheese and hay rides. And yeah,
so,
we do.
So you do moonlight horseback riding?
We don't do any moonlight stuff. No. The Wranglers work 9-10 hour days as it is. We'd be killed.
And of course, horses and e-bikes go all over the ranch, and the ranch is 3,000 acres. You're not going to get bored.
Yeah, I mean, when we come back, we'll talk briefly about what's going on with encroachment of the lands. And we have lost several ranches here in Tucson, but we're keeping White Stallion protected. So we'll be right back. This is... The Morning Voice, and I'm Tom Moulton, your host. And don't forget about Dr. Ackerley tomorrow at 7 o'clock. He brings the wow of Arizona, actually the wonder, I should say, of the Arizona University of Arizona. And he talks about some of the positive things that are going on at the U of A. We'll be right back. Well, we're back. I'm Tom Moulton, and my co-host Tim Vimmerstedt is still on the phone. Is that correct, Timmy?
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. This is a very short segment because we've gone over on every segment. And thank you, gentlemen, for sharing all these stories. And, there's so much going on at the White Stallion. But I just learned that there is a website that talks about all the dude ranches that are the true collection. How do we get hold of that website?
So it's just simply, www.trueranchcollection.com. So trueranchcollection.com. And it'll get them to all six, and then they can click on into the specific ranch if they wish.
Well, that's quite a collection of six dude ranches. You mentioned one... Was that the seventh one, or was that part of the six?
I was talking about one of the six. That's
okay.
Between Cody and Yellowstone. It's about 15 miles from the east entrance of Yellowstone. We did operate the OTO, and we anticipate being back there next summer.
Now, are you all tapped out, or you got your ear to the about it anymore down the road?
No, we're not. We're not tapped out. We're always listening.
That's fantastic. And what do you expect when you go to a true family collection? What are the two or three things that you really deliver on and people talk about? And Stephen, you can probably answer that. because from you said you talked to the customers and the folks, and what is Russell delivering on?
What Russell delivers on is a profound relaxation and things to do at a lot, like I said, the things that they don't do every day. And, you know, the horseback riding, the axe throwing.
Forgot about the axe throwing.
has been put in the mix. just shooting, archery, rock climbing. Rock climbing is a big deal. And just being able to sit and take in the ambiance and the view that is White Stallion.
Yes, it's the only bar where you get to sit on a saddle.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think the thing that we really focus on, or the things, is, you know, we've had people say to us, maybe not politely, it depends on what they're, you know, are you trying to save dude ranching? And we say dude ranching doesn't need saving, and we're not big enough to do that. We are trying to save some dude ranches, and we talked offline about, you know, Tucson has lost all but the last two, White Stallion and Tankaverde, and they've just been overwhelmed by growth, and we're just history and great service and great people.
Maintaining 3,000 acres is a wonderful to talk about. And you and I talked about that road they're building right next to you, and I go like, oh my God, don't sell any of the land to the left.
No, we won't.
Hang on there, because we've lost some ranches here, Lazy K and some other
the
ranches
best thing about
here.
About going to White Stallion is you get the true family experience.
Absolutely. And make sure you go to the website, what's that website
again? TrueRanchCollection.com.
Or right. WhiteStallion.com as well.
That's right. This is...
And we're done.
We're done.